And shall we do the Dojikaja?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll read it to you. But you gotta offer in mandala first. Before we do Dojikaja, I was thinking that was one of the things I mentioned to you about the mandala offering. You know, because we've been talking about, you know, commitments and wholehearted and half-hearted and, you know, objects of attachment and balance and all of this kind of thing. And in the mandala offering, you're offering everything to the three jewels. You know, the first verse, the universe and everything beautiful in it. Okay? So it's not that you're keeping your hot water bottle for yourself and giving everything else, you know? And it's not like you're keeping your room and your car and your this and your that and then giving everything else to the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. It's mentally, you know, in your mind giving everything. And in the second verse, our body, wealth, and enjoyment. Okay? So even our body, we're not holding back here. Because there's that whole visualization of breaking down the parts of your body into the different parts of the mandala and offering it. You know? So it's not even like, my body's mine, I'm not offering it to the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. You know, first I take care of me and then offer something. But we're in offering our body, I mean, we're offering our time because, you know, what we do with our body. Okay? Our wealth. Yeah? So, you know, the bank account, the house, the whole, you know, all the things that you cherish. I'm talking about mentally offering. Okay? The whole idea here is you mentally offer so you're not attached to it. And then our enjoyments, so everything we use, all of our possessions, and of course all the people we enjoy as well. Okay? And we offer them to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And so if you really pay attention to what you're saying in the mandala offering, we're giving up everything. Which is pretty radical, considering, you know, that what we've been talking about, you know, hold on, let's be balanced here. You know what he said about balance? It's like, you know, I'll go skiing and I'll go walk in the woods and I'll get my computer and I'll do this and that. And then I can do some Dharma practice and be generous and stuff. No. I mean, the whole thing about the Bodhisattva practice is there's no holds barred. Everything. We give everything. Okay? Continuously. Now, we're clearly not at that space, okay, yet. But why do we say the prayer like that? Because we are imagining being able to give it. We are imagining giving it, and we are imagining having that open heart that would be able to give it without a sense of loss, okay? Because a sense of loss says, Well, I gave it, but I wish I didn't. I want it back. Okay? So, you know, the mandala offer, if you really pay attention when you're doing it, you can see that it's one of these techniques that helps us stretch our ability to give up attachment. Yeah? Because we start out just imagining giving and imagining not feeling, and by continuously doing this day after day, yeah, doing mandala offerings day after day and thinking about the meaning of it, then mentally we get more and more used to not clinging on to things for ourselves, and we begin to take delight in offering, and then slowly our actual ability to offer increases. Okay? So, you know, when you're doing the mandala offering, don't feel like, okay, you know, I've got to go empty out my bank account today. Although if you did, then I'm sure we can, you know, then we can build the Abbey. We won't have to do any fundraising. Yeah, but it's not saying that you have to do that, okay? But just to get in this feeling of mentally I'm giving these things away, so that I'm decreasing this feeling of me, I, my, and mine that's hanging around everything that I touch. Yeah? And also, if I've mentally given them to the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, and I continue to use them, then I have some responsibility to use them wisely. Because it's not like, oh, this is mine, so it doesn't matter what I do with it. If I want to waste it, I can waste it. And if I want to hoard it, I can hoard it. And if I want to give it away, I can give it away. But no, I offer these things to the three jewels. And the Buddha's letting me use them. So I have a responsibility to use my body wisely, you know, not do stupid things, you know, to use my wealth wisely, to use my enjoyments wisely, to do things wisely, because these things really belong to the three jewels. So this can be a way to help us reflect, to get us to stop, and like Bo was talking about, you know, choices and consequences. And, you know, okay, these things don't belong to me. It's not like, hey, this is my life, I can do whatever I want, get off my back. No, I offered, you know, my life to the three jewels. Oh, that means I should protect my life so that I can practice the Dharma and be of benefit to sentient beings. Yeah. So that means I need to, you know, eat nourishing food and not eat junk food. It means I need to get some exercise. It means, you know, whatever it is. Yeah? And then same with our wealth. It's like, oh, it's my wealth. I feel like, you know, buying milkshakes with this money, you know, it doesn't matter to anybody. It's my money. I can do what I want. Well, no, I've already offered it. So I should try and be responsible the way I spend my money or the way I use my possessions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that brings up a whole environmental concern. Yeah. About how we use the resources on this planet. And do we just get in our car and drive whenever the thought enters in our mind? Or do we think, you know, I'm going to X place, you know, X city, and have a whole list of everything that needs to be done, you know, in that place, plan our journey out so we make, you know, best use of the gas mileage, and then come back home? Do we do that? Or do we, oh, today I need this, go in and get it. Tomorrow I need that, go in and get it. The next day I need that, go in and get it. And thereby, you know, polluting the air with, you know, all of our use of the petrol. Okay, and wasting time, too. And no wonder we have no time. We're too busy driving here and there, you know, because we don't plan things. And so think, you know, because I think all these things kind of have, when we really think about the meaning of the Dharma, they have impact on just our simple daily life choices and how we, you know, live our life. You know, do we take really long showers and let the water just run and run and run? When we're brushing our teeth, do we let the water run? Do we try and conserve water? Do we take time to recycle things? Yeah. Do we bring our shopping bags back to the market and reuse them? No? So I think all these things come in here as part of, you know, well, I've given everything to the three jewels. You know, Buddha, what does Buddha want? Sentient beings to be happy. Well, I'm using these things, so how can I use them in a way that will bring happiness to sentient beings and avoid harming them? Yeah. Okay. So I think there's, you know, many ways that karma really affects our lives. This book called Hooked, you know, that came out, that I left out there. You know, it's really quite interesting, and you might want to take a look at it and some of the articles in it. Except in the first article, he was saying, you know, that many people come on retreats and they go home and they don't necessarily change their lifestyle after, you know, practicing the Dharma. They just change their mind. I am not in complete agreement, because I feel that if we've really thought deeply about living in an interconnected universe, and if we really have some sense of compassion, it's got to influence our lifestyle. You know? It seems to me it's got to. If it doesn't, then what is it? You know? If we're meditating on compassion, you know, to me, compassion and ethical discipline, they go so much together, you know. They're so intertwined, because when you really have compassion, then you automatically restrain from doing harmful things. Well, that's ethical discipline. Yeah? So it isn't like ethical discipline is you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, you don't want to do it because those things are harmful, and I'm cultivating compassion. Compassion feels good, and I really care, and I live in this interdependent world with other people and other living beings, and, you know, I'm a cog in it, and I care about what the effects of my actions are, what the consequences of my actions are, not only on me, but on society and on other people. And I may not be able to change all of society, but at least I can do my part. And, you know, if I do my part, I might influence a few other people. Yeah. And at least that way I have a clear conscience in what I do, and slowly it spreads. So I think at some level, you know, it's got to influence how we live and the choices we make. Yeah. So that's not saying that we put ourselves in some straitjacket, you know, imposing something on us. But I'm just saying, you know, do it from the inside out, you know, where your feeling of compassion and interdependence in your heart, and let that express itself outward in how you relate to the world. You know, so that's why at the Abbey, you know, we remind people, you know, conserve the water and please recycle and turn off the lights and, you know, and we're not people who come to visit, can't go in and out of, you know, to town and stuff like that. Because it's all a way, you know, this is our way of relating to the environment that we have offered to the Buddha. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, in the same way that our Dharma practice is going to affect what we talk to other people about. Yeah, and it's got to affect our social life. It's got to affect our friendships, you know, and the kind of people we choose as friends, and the kind of people we want to hang out with, you know. Because if you're really strongly developing or trying to develop in your heart certain qualities, then you're going to want to be around people who encourage the development of those qualities and who appreciate those qualities with you. So, you know, and then, well, do you want to go to a party with blaring music and 50 people where they're drinking? Is that happiness? Yeah. Your face looks great. Well, you expression on your face.
Well, there's a certain friend's party I'm thinking of.
Oh. Yeah, it's just sometimes, I mean, especially after Vajrasattva, you go there and you're going to come running out of there as fast as you can. Get me out of here!
Painful.
Yeah, if someone plunked us down right now, it would feel painful. Wouldn't it?
The music, the everything, just painful, like ouch.
Yeah, very painful.
Yeah.
Sensory overload. You want to put it into words?
Scary.
See, I'm very curious. Because I'm very curious in terms for myself of I suppose what happens is that my sense is that not my sense is that it's not all about going into a place like this, but it's about being in the world and being very, very open and receptive.
So we come into a place like this to have the time and space to look inside, to work on those qualities, so that when we leave, we can take what we've benefited from here and share it with everybody we encounter.
So more it's that piece of understanding that I do control my immediate environment, and that's what I have chosen. I mean, I think the thing that happens to me when I'm in my voice, it's like I totally appreciate what you're saying, and yet it's like, okay, so how? I don't have that kind of control on you, and that's just because you don't.
Yeah, none of us can.
Right, and yet. But if I want to be out there, or if I am out there, I mean, it's like that sense of that, so it's always being with, okay, that it's always uncomfortable and dissatisfaction, but it's like, okay.
You know, wherever we live, there's going to be discomfort and dissatisfaction. And people shouldn't think of the Abbey or, you know, some Dharma place as a place where there's no discomfort and dissatisfaction. You know, I mean, samsara is uncomfortable and unsatisfactory. And our disturbing emotions go everywhere with us. And there's no place where we can go where we do not live in relationship with everybody. So it's not like you come to the Abbey and you no longer live in relationship with the rest of the world. Even you go on the top of Mount Pisgah, you know, it probably has fewer people than go to the top of Mount Everest. you live in relationship to each and every sentient being. There's no way, no place we can ever go throughout the universe where we're not living in relationship with everybody. And those relationships sometimes are physically close and sometimes physically separate. And sometimes those relationships are spiritually and emotionally and mentally close, and sometimes they're quite distant. You know, there's all sorts of degrees in there, but there's always relationship with everybody. And so just how we are inside of ourselves, how we greet the world when we wake up in the morning. We greet the world when the alarm goes off with, oh shit. Or do we, he's my friend. You know, well, now we know who says that. No. I'm happy to be alive. You know? So, yeah, how we are, and that influences everything, doesn't it? Now, it doesn't matter whether you're here or living in the middle of New York City. How we wake up in the morning influences the world.
What I am understanding is that let us influence in a way, our environment, instead of our crazy environment influence to us.
Exactly.
As usual.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of letting the crazy environment rule us and control us and influence us, we come in there strong, you know, with compassion and spread that out into the environment. Okay, so now we're going through this. Okay. I take refuge until I'm enlightened in the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the Sangha. By the positive potential I create, by practicing generosity and the other far-reaching attitudes, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all sentient beings. Especially for the sake of all other sentient beings, I must quickly and more quickly in this very life attain the precious state of complete and perfect Buddhahood. Therefore, I shall make the burning offering to Dorje Kagyu. Om Bhajamita Kandali Hana Hana Hampe Om Sabhava Shida Saradama Sabhava Shida Hum. The fire becomes empty. That is, the incorrect ordinary view of the fire as being truly existent disappears. Within this emptiness of true existence, a blazing wisdom fire appears. At its center is Hum, which becomes a Vajra marked by Hum. This transforms into the fierce deity Dorje Kagyu. He is deep blue, with one face and two hands, holding Dorje in both. He shows the mudra, divine wisdom, which is called the Hongse mark mudra, which is like this. Wearing a crown of five skulls, he snarls into space, bearing four great fangs. He is adorned by a necklace of 50 bleeding heads and wears a scanty tiger skin loincloth. He is seated with his legs forming a circle, and his aspect is that of a powerful, magnificent destroyer of all negativities and obscurations. A white om is at his crown, red ah at his throat, blue hum at his heart. From the hum, light rays radiate out to invite the wisdom beings and empowering deities from their natural abodes. Sa, hum, bam, ho. The wisdom beings and symbolic beings merge and become inseparable. The empowering deities perform the empowerment, and Dorje Kagyu is crowned with Akshobhya. Om Vajradatta Sapayalai Agam Bhajan Tote Dirte Alaka Vende Nide Shattapati Sama Soha. Akshobhya Vajra, great wisdom, the Vajra sphere of your mind is extremely wise. The supreme three Vajras of body, speech, and mind are the three mandalas. I bow to you, melody of secrets. I am in ordinary form. A black palm, the symbol representing all my negativities, appears at my heart. At my navel, a red ram becomes a fire mandala. Beneath my feet, a blue yam becomes a blue wind mandala. Light rays emanate from the palm and draw forth all the negativities and obscurations of my three doors in the form of black rays. These absorb into the palm. Beneath my feet, the blue wind mandala blows, and blue wind rises at my legs. It fans the fire blazing at my navel. Flaming rays go up and chase the palm out through my nose. The palm then takes the form of a scorpion and absorbs into the sesame seeds. These are offered to the mouth of Dorje Kagyu while reciting, Om Vajradaka Kakakai Kai Saropapantahana Bhaktin Kuru Soha. So recite the mantra as much as possible, throwing some sesame seeds into the fire as each mantra is said. periodically stop and say the following verse and then return to the mantra recitation. Do this until all the sesame seeds have been offered. All the negativities and obscurations I have created and all commitments I have broken from beginningless lives are completely purified. Om Vajra Daka Sapari Vaya Gamba Dhyampa Pai Durpe Alake Gende Nide Sapta Pati Salam Sova. In the center of the blazing wisdom fire stands the fierce dark blue cannibal Dorji Khadra. Just by remembering you, all disturbing attitudes and evil forces are completely destroyed. To you, Dorji Khadra, I bow. All the errors I have made through not finding or knowing or no capability, please be patient with these. The wisdom beings return to the ultimate nature from where they came, and the symbolic being, Dorji Khadra, transforms into a blazing fire. Due to this positive potential, may I be taken care of and never be separated from the Mahayana spiritual masters who show the infallible path. May I drink the nectar of their speech and not be satisfied by merely a few words. Through the force of completing the practices of the determination to be free, the altruistic intention and the wisdom realizing emptiness, as well as the six far-reaching attitudes and the two tantric stages, may I quickly attain the state of a Buddha having 10 faculties. May I quickly attain Buddhahood, and may my prayers be fulfilled through the inspiration of the spiritual masters who never betray the triple gem and the truth of the intrinsically pure ultimate sphere of reality and infallible interdependence. Okay, so it starts off with refuge in bodhicitta. I won't explain all that because, you know, you're kind of familiar with that. Then a meditation on emptiness. I mean, first with the Om Vajra Mudra Kundali Hanahana Hongpe, we're chasing away all interferences. And then Om Sabo Shira Savadharma Sabo Shira Hang, we meditate on emptiness. And so we think that we become, you know, empty, especially here the fire becomes empty. Okay, it's not a truly existent fire. Okay? And so within that emptiness of true existence, within the fire, just existing by being merely labeled, the fire appears at, you know, which will, it'll be lit before we start all of this, because it has to be, kind of be going and hot enough and everything. At this end, and we have to draw a put a double dorji at the, you know, in the pit and everything, yeah. Okay, so so at the center is a letter HUM. Yeah, so you can have an upright center in the middle of the fire, an upright HUM at the middle of, in the center of the fire. Okay, it transforms into a Vajra that's upright, marked by HUM at the middle. That transforms into Dorji Khadra. So he's made of deep blue light, one face, two arms, holding Vajra and bell, like this. You know, his hands like this. Then he has, you know, five skulls, you know, representing the five wisdoms. He snarls into space, bearing four great fangs. Okay, he's adorned with a necklace of 50 bleeding heads. you know, which represent all the disturbing attitudes, negative emotion. He snarls into space, bearing four great fangs. You know, I mean, so this guy's really, you don't want to meet him in a dark alley. Okay? But it's all compassion. This whole thing's coming from compassion. It's not coming from wanting to harm sentient beings, but the harm is directed towards the negative emotions. Okay? He's seated with his legs forming a circle. So, you know, just like you did when you need to stretch your legs, kind of like this. Yeah? And his ass, and you know, his head is gnarling, you know, like that. And his aspect is a powerful, magnificent destroyer of all negativities and obscurations. That's what he destroys, is our negative karma, obscurations, interferences. Okay, white om at his crown, red at his throat, mahung at his heart. From mahung at his heart, light rays go out. You know, invite the wisdom beings and the empowering deities from the natural books. So the wisdom beings are the ones that look just like Dorje Khadra. And then when we say Za Hom Bam Ho, they dissolve into Dorje Khadra. Mm-hmm. So we're invoking all the Buddha's wisdom appearing in the form of Dorje Khadra, and that dissolves into our visualization, so we gain more confidence that it's really mm-hmm. Dorje Khadra. The empowering deities are the five Dhyani Buddhas. And the consorts, and they come holding vases, and then after that they grant initiation by standing over, you know, gathering around Dorje Khadra, and with this vase pouring this nectar, which then fills him up, starting at the bottom and fills him up, and the top comes out, and he's crowned by Akshobhya Buddha on the top. Okay, so that gives us also more confidence that, you know, it's not just make-believe, but, you know, Dorje Khadra, it's, you know, there's a Buddha there, even now. Then we make offerings. So, Om Vajradhaka Sapariwari, you know, Om Vajradhaka means Dorje Khadra, and all your entourage. Then, you know, I offer Argan Pajam, you know, water for washing, water for drinking, water for washing, all the offerings that you have on the altar. Okay, and please enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then we offer a praise, you know, Vajra Kshobhya, great wisdom, the Vajra sphere of your mind is extremely wise. Your supreme Vajra, three Vajras of body, speech, and mind are the three mandalas. I bow to you, melody of secrets. Okay, so we offer praise. And then we do, then now we're entering into the, so there we've established the front generation, you know, and then created merit by making offerings and praise. Okay, now that we're going into the part where we're actually doing the purification. So we're in ordinary form, you know, little old me, pauvre de me, you know, full manifestation of pauvre de me, you know, consuming, filling the entire universe. Yeah? A black palm, the syllable representing all my negativities, appears at my heart, okay? So the black syllable palm inside your heart chakra, okay? So all your complaining, all your self-hatred, all your, you know, contempt for other people, all your conceit and arrogance, all your negative karma, everything you hate about yourself, all your self-centeredness, all your self-grasping, the whole kit and caboodle is all in that negative palm, you know? That central command station. Yeah? That palm is, you know, where it all comes from, okay? So that's sitting there in your heart. At my navel, a red ram, so the letter ram, becomes a fire mandala. A fire mandala is a triangle that's blazing fire, and that is inside your body at the level of your navel, and it's horizontal. Okay, so a red horizontal triangle with the point pointing towards your belly button and the flat side pad pointing towards your spine, okay, inside of at your navel. Beneath your feet, there's a blue letter yam, and it becomes a blue wind mandala. A wind mandala is a half circle. Okay? So the flat side, like when you break your cookies in half, the flat side faces front and the round side faces back. So that's under your feet. Okay? So then light rays emanate from the palm and draw forth, you know, here you are, your palm, you know, draw forth all the negativities and obscurations of my three doors, means of my body, speech, and mind, in the form of black rays, you know. So, you know, this black, you know, pessimism, whatever, you know, however you want to do it, you know. It's all there, and it comes all absorbing back into the palm, you know. It's, you know, central command station is fully, you know, awake. And then, beneath my feet, blue wind mandala, it starts to move. Yeah, this triangle starts to, you know, just vibrate. Yeah, so that's like fanning the, you know, creating wind that fans the fire. So that wind, you imagine, comes up and it fans the fire that's at the level of your navel. And that fire mandala like bursts into flame, and then all these flames come up, and these are wisdom flames. Okay, so it's burning away all the pollution and negative energy and negative chi and stuff like that comes up. That palm at your heart can't bear it. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So that fire comes up and that palm at your heart, it goes up and out your nose. Okay? Okay, so it just, you know, it can't bear the heat and light from that wisdom fire, so it jumps out of your nose. Okay, and it absorbs into the scorpion that's made from the sesame seeds. So now all, you know, all your negativities and negative karma and self-centeredness and self-hatred and complaining mind and poverty and the whole thing, that is, you know, into that scorpion. Yeah, completely absorbed there. Yeah. And then, these are offered to the mouth of Dorji Kadro. Okay? So, Dorji Kadro is a Buddha. We've projected all of our negativity and gotten it all out into the scorpion. But when we take that, that is like nectar for Dorji Kadro. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Dorji Kadro's perspective, Vajradhaka's perspective, that's like nectar. Nothing to be afraid of, nothing to feel overwhelmed by, nothing to despair over. This is just delicious nectar. Okay? So, you know, we'll distribute you know, we should have some plates, maybe, I don't know, paper plates or plastic plates or something, and we all have our sesame seeds, and then you just take a little bit of sesame seed, you know, in your hand, and you offer this way, with your palm out. So you don't throw in like this, but you offer. Okay? Mm-hmm. And each time you offer, you say, Om Vajradhaka Kakakai Sarampapam Dahana Matin Kuru Soha. Om Vajradhaka Kakakai Sarampapam Dahana Matin Kuru Soha. Om Vajradhaka Kakakai Sarampapam Dahana Matin Kuru Soha. And you offer each one, and so each time you offer, you know, all this nectar of your negativity, you know, what used to be your negativities, it, because, you know, Dorji Kadro is sitting there, you know, with his mouth open, waiting for it, you know, kind of like you, you know, before meals here. So picture Miles before breakfast. Make sure he has. And then, you know, with the kitties, you know, it's like they're there. And so you're offering this, and it's going right in Vajradhaka's mouth, you know, and he's just going, this is delicious. Give me more negativities. Give me more obscurations. Give me more self-hatred and poverty in me. I want it. It's delicious. Okay, so you keep offering it in Vajradhaka. You know, all your attachment, all your internal civil war, you know, everything. Yeah? And so you know, and it just goes into Vajradhaka each time, you know, as you offer those mantras, and he's just totally blissed out. Okay? And so we say the mantra, you know, several times, and then, and we'll all say it at different rates, you know, some people know it, some people say it fast, some people say it slow, so, you know, we don't all have to say it at the same time. And see, like that, you know, feed me, I want. And then all the negative, and then occasionally, you know, you can pause and you say the prayer, all the negativities and obscurations I have created and all commitments I have broken from beginningless lives are completely purified. Okay? And so we say that, then we go back and we offer some more with the mantra on Vajradhaka-kakakayakai-sarvapam-dahana-bhakti-guru-soha. And then every so often we stop and we say that prayer. Okay, so we'll all do that kind of at our own speed and our own rate. And then we try and get as close to possible as every single sesame seed in there. Yeah. When that's hard, so, you know, just try and not spill too much at the beginning and everything like that, because we really want to burn everything as much as possible. And at the end is the finale. Okay, we're offering the mandala. have they seen your mandala?
No, I only have the ball.
Uh-huh.
I conserve the ball.
Only the balls, not the rest of it.
No, because I think that maybe it's burning if I only put
the balls in it. Okay. She, you tell them.
No,
you tell them.
That's your secret project. I see you running down to the bar and every, you know.
It's very interesting. It's very amazing.
No, because I can.
She put the hair all around the balloon. Yeah. Off with that. And then we do the offerings again, you know, and another praise to Dorje Kadra. And then we do the thing to remedy mistakes, where we say all the errors I have made through not finding means not having the proper materials or not knowing how to do it properly, or no capability, you know. Being a dimwit. Because I'm very not a dimwit. You know? Then please be patient with all of these. And then we imagine that the wisdom beings depart. They go back, they leave and go back into the ultimate nature of emptiness. and the symbolic being, the Dorje Khadra that, you know, we generated in the fire, now turns back into a fire. Okay, because before the fire turned into Dorje Khadra, now Dorje Khadra turns back into the fire, and then we dedicate. This is a nice practice to do from time to time, you know. And I think when we do it, we can think of, you know, all the people who were doing the retreat with us at home, and all of the inmates, and we can think of, you know, destroying their negativities and obscurations, and, you know, any errors they made in doing the practice also. Okay. And then after the fire burns, then we just let it burn. We don't disturb it. Mm-hmm. So it might be good if somebody watched it, if it's, because, you know, 2 days, you know, could be dry again. We don't know. Or it could be snowing.
Just everything, every
yeah.
hour.
Yeah, every hour. Like our mind. Yeah, some small food offering is nice. I mean, the main food offering is the sesame seeds. So you can make those, you know, put it with the butter, and then get a big tray, and it could either be a kitchen tray or a piece of wood or whatever you have, whatever you want to put it on. Oh, by the way, when the pun comes out of your nose, as it emerges, not when it's inside you, but as it emerges, it comes out as a scorpion. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it comes up in the tummy, out of the scorpion, you know. Merges with the scorpion. Should we dedicate?
Dear to this meditation, attend your heart and stir the Bodhisattva, that we may be able to liberate all sentient beings from their suffering. May the precious body, mind, not yet born or rising born, may the born have no decline, but increase forevermore. In the snowy mountain paradise, you'll possess a good and happiness, power potent and yet so generously, made in shame and sorrow.